The word of God given to us today is John chapter 6, verses 32 through 35. Allow me to read the words. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen. I hope that the grace and peace of Christmas will fill your homes and workplaces. In particular, I pray that the blessings of the Lord and the reach of the Lord will always be present in the lives of the children of the congregation. When I was young, there were several times when I wished that rice would fall from the sky like snow, so I could cook it and eat it to my heart's content. There's an animated film that children enjoy called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. The setting is Swallow Falls, an island in the Atlantic Ocean so small that it is difficult to spot on a map. The island's economy was sustained by selling sardines, but as the world deemed the fish super gross, sales plummeted and islanders ended up eating all the sardines themselves. Island residents had to eat sardines by blanching them, frying them, boiling them, drying them, making them into candy, and making them into juice. The island became increasingly gray and lost its vitality. On that island, there lived an eccentric inventor named Flint Lockwood. From a young age, he invented spray shoes, hair growth products, and flying cars. But he was lacking something, or actually a lot. He tested the hair growth product on his father, but it turned out that not only his father's head, but his entire face was covered in hair. And the flying car had no wings and crashed as soon as it took off. In particular, spray shoes were developed for people whose shoelaces came undone, but there was no way to take the shoes off. Flint made himself a pair of shoes by using the spray on his feet, but there was no way to take them off, so he wears the same pair of shoes until the film ends. To revive the island, its mayor opens a theme park called Sardine Land. He was a very ambitious person, and he invested the entire city budget to create a theme park, which was actually an arbitrary decision. He wanted to become a great mayor by creating tourist facilities on the island and attracting people to visit. At the same time, Flint also created a machine that made food by modifying water molecules. The machine could make anything, including pizza, hamburgers, sandwiches, sausages, chicken, and steak. However, the machine required a lot of electricity, and the electricity in his house was hardly enough. So when the opening ceremony for Sardine Land was held, Flint secretly used electricity from the substation. However, due to excessive electricity being supplied to the machine that Flint created, the machine flew around the air like a rocket, and the opening ceremony of Sardine Land was ruined. Flint had to take all the blame. But suddenly, cheeseburgers started falling from the sky. The machine that Flint created worked well in the stratosphere, collecting clouds to make food. After seeing this, the mayor suggested turning the island into a food paradise to attract tourists and to hold an island visit day a month later. Flint kept up with the demand, making the machine produce chicken waffles, sandwiches, donuts, and jelly. He even built a snow sledding slope for children, but the sledding slope was not made of snow, but of ice cream. There, children went sledding, had snowball fights, no ice cream fights. It was said that Flint's new invention, Outsider, would solve the problem of people's leftover food. His father, who ran a fishing shop, told Flint, "That techno food, it's too complicated for an old fisherman. Could still use your help around here, you know?" But Flint replies, "I'm working with the mayor now, Dad." The ambitious mayor grew fat and unrecognizable and was unable to walk on his own, so rode around in a car-shaped device. The machine Flint built was increasingly overloaded with people's demands. People were eating at a restaurant, and the T-bone steak that fell on their plate was so big that it broke the leg of the table. And the sausage in a hot dog was as tall as a person. Nevertheless, the mayor said, "Isn't the bigger the food, the better?" And in the meantime, the leftover food formed a huge mountain. Finally, island visit day came. People from all over the world cheered. But then, a spaghetti tornado came. So much spaghetti fell that people were crushed, and the wind blew people, cars, and other objects flying in the air. They managed to get the machine to stop working, so there was no more spaghetti coming down. But that was just the appetizer. It was predicted that a perfect food storm would soon spread throughout the earth, covering the northern hemisphere of the earth, including New York, Paris, and eastern China, with food within 4 hours. Flint's solution to this food storm was that he would fly to the food-making machine and destroy it. After a while, the dam of the mountain of food waste that had been collected on the island burst, turning the entire island into a land of food waste, and huge amounts of food began to fall. A huge sandwich fell on the Eiffel Tower in Paris, France. And a huge corn fell on the Great Wall of China and rolled around, causing people to run away in shock. The food storm hit famous places around the world first and then spread to other regions. A world map showed which food would fall down on which region, and there was a red pepper drawn on Korea. A machine created for humans ended up becoming a tool that brought humans to disaster due to human desire. When Flint finally destroys the machine, the food storm stops. Early in the film, when burgers fall from the sky, the makeshift weather forecaster reports, "Okay, everybody, you are not going to believe this one, but I am standing in the middle of a burger rain. You may have seen a meteor shower, but you've never seen a shower meatier than this. For a town stuck eating sardines, this is totally manna from heaven. Today's passage also talks about food from heaven, manna from heaven, and the bread of life. Among the signs performed by Jesus, the miracles performed by Jesus, the one recorded in all four Gospels is the incident of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. The fact that the event is recorded in all 4 Gospels means that it was an amazing and great event for the disciples and people of the time. In the past, there were quite a few families with 3 to 4 children. Also, it wasn't difficult to find a family with 5 to 6 children. Even if 4 to 5 children are raised by a parent, each of their memories of their parents may differ. In addition, memories and recollections of big and small events that occurred may differ. Additionally, because children are of different ages, the amount that is remembered may differ. However, in each family, there may be 1 or 2 events that all siblings remember clearly. For example, you may recall the time when your father returned home more than a year later after leaving to make money on a deep-sea fishing vessel. Or when your mother was hospitalized for several months after a car accident and the family took turns visiting the hospital. You may recall memories of having to get off the bus and walk uphill for 20 to 30 minutes to go home because your parents' business went bankrupt. And you had to move to a small house on a hillside after having lived in a nice house on a main road. If you asked the 12 disciples of Jesus, besides the crucifixion, what was the most memorable event or the thing that you could never forget during the 3 years you spent with Jesus? Even though each person's memories may differ, the answer would probably be the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. If proof that the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish was an unforgettable event, not only for the disciples, but also for others who are present, is that after the incident, people tried to make Jesus king. The people of Israel, who were oppressed by the Roman Empire at the time, were eagerly waiting for the Messiah, who had been prophesied since the Old Testament times. They firmly believed that once he came, they would be free from the oppression of the Roman Empire and from economic suffering. When Jesus fed more than 5,000 men with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, they thought that if he had such great power, he must be the long-awaited Messiah. So people tried to make Jesus king. But Jesus went away to the mountain by himself. However, the reason Jesus performed this miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish was not to provide a meal for hungry people. Jesus did the following before distributing the loaves and fish to the people. This is John chapter 6, verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Jesus did not just hand out the loaves and fish, but looked up to heaven and gave a blessing before handing out the food to his disciples and asking them to distribute the food. the disciples must have been very busy handing out the bread and fish that Jesus had blessed. The disciples handed out the bread and fish to the point where people could no longer eat. There is another scene in the Bible where Jesus gave a blessing during a meal. This is Luke chapter 22, verses 19 to 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus gave the same speech at the Last Supper and Holy Communion with his disciples before he bore the cross. The miracle of five loaves and two fish that Jesus performed was not just to address people's hunger. It was like having a Holy Communion in the field. So the Gospel of John gives us an important hint. This is John chapter 6, verses 4 to 5. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" It says that the time when Jesus performed the miracle of five loaves and two fish was close to the Jewish holiday of the Passover. This occurred as the second Passover of Jesus' public life approached. Jesus died as the Passover lamb. So the miracle of the five loaves and two fish symbolizes that Jesus did not just break bread and fish, but also broke himself. So in today's passage, he says the following. This is John chapter 6, verses 32 to 35. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes me will never be thirsty." This is what Jesus said after performing the miracle of five loaves and two fish. When the descendants of Israel left Egypt and passed through the wilderness, they ate manna, the food that God sent down from heaven, for 40 years. Jesus says that it was a symbol showing that they must accept Jesus Christ, the eternal manna that came down from heaven, and the bread of life. People were only interested in the bread and fish that Jesus broke, but Jesus is telling people that they must come to him, the bread of life. That is why Jesus said, "He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." Yes, if we do not come to Jesus, we have no choice but to hunger and thirst. We are limited beings, and on our own, we can never satisfy our hunger or thirst. On Saturdays, I prepare intensively for the Sunday sermon at my office at church. I write 6 pages for 12 hours until around 7 p.m. based on the Bible verses I've meditated on and recorded over the past week, along with other material. When the first draft is completed, I send it to the church interpretation and translation team, and then go home and have dinner. Then I come back to the office around 9:30 p.m. and read the sermon again and do editing until around midnight. I then send the second and revised version to the interpretation and translation team, then go home and clear my mind while taking a shower and then go to bed. Then I wake up at 5:30 a.m. on Sunday and read the sermon again and do some more editing for about 2 hours. After sending the third version to the interpretation and translation team, I come to the church around 8 a.m., calm my mind while praying, and then head to the chapel around 8:23. This can be said to be my routine before the first service on Sunday. Christmas Day, December 25th, falls on a different day of the week every year. Every 5 to 6 years, Christmas falls on a Sunday. Christmas in 2011, 2016, and 2022 was on a Sunday. The next year in which Christmas and Sunday overlap is 2033. The year before last year, on Sunday, December 24th, 2022, I went through the same routine as a regular Saturday. The day before Christmas that year was extremely cold. On TV it said, the mercury that day dropped to minus 13 degrees Celsius. That night, around midnight, I sent the second and revised Sunday sermon, got in the car, and headed home. It was late, and there were no cars or people on the road due to the extreme cold. A little before passing the Tanginni power plant, I saw a black object on the ledge that separates the road from the sidewalk. I passed by it without thinking, but then I thought there was someone crouching down and thought that if that person stays like that alone in the cold, he's going to be in big trouble. So I quickly turned the car around in front of the Tanginni power plant. There was a young man crouching down. Fortunately, he did not look like he had been sitting there for a long time. However, he was drunk and couldn't come to his senses due to the cold and drunkenness. He couldn't stand up alone. I kept shaking him to wake him up and made him talk. At first, he couldn't say anything, but when I kept asking him, he started little by little. He said he came from a provincial area and was 26 years old. When I asked where he lived, he said he lived in a studio apartment in Singildong. He told me he would pay double the taxi fare. When I told him I couldn't go, he said he would give me 3 times as much. As time passed, he became more and more unable to come to his senses. I used an app and multiple taxis arrived, but all of the drivers said they couldn't take drunk people and just left. I remembered that there was a police officer at the crime prevention post under the bridge in front of this church at the time I left the church a little earlier. So I made the young man sit down again and went to the crime prevention post and knocked on the door, but there was no one there because they were all out on patrol. I went to the young man, called 911, and informed them of the situation. And I kept talking to him until the 911 ambulance arrived. When I asked why he was sitting there like that, he said that he had broken up with his girlfriend and that his friends had been drinking together to comfort him and that they had just left afterward. When I asked him why he came to Seoul, he said, "I want to succeed. I really want to succeed." After a while, I handed the young man over to the 911 crew and headed home. Sometimes the image of that young man comes to mind. That young man is like a self-portrait of each of us. If the Lord had not come to this earth as the bread, food of life, if he had not reached out to us and served as the eternal 911 emergency service for us, we would have been hungry forever and would have been doomed to death by our faults and sins. Today is Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus, who came to this earth as the bread of life and as the eternal 911 service. On the day that baby Jesus, who came to this world as the bread of life, was born, an angel of God appeared to the shepherd watching his sheep in the field and said the following. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A manger is a vessel used to hold food for livestock such as cows or horses, and is commonly made by cutting out a large piece of wood or large stone. Baby Jesus, who came as the bread of life, is lying in the animal's food bowl. There is no better way to show that Jesus came to us as the bread of life than this scene. Baby Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago on Christmas Day. We were originally beings who were eternally deprived and helpless. The Lord came to this earth to give us true fullness, eternal fullness. And the Lord also became the eternal 911 emergency service, saving us who were dead by our faults and sins, and gave us eternal life. This alone deserves our lifelong gratitude, because all of this was possible because Jesus came to us. We celebrate and praise the birth of Jesus with all our heart, our soul, and all our strength. Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, rich in mercy, please help us not to forget that no matter how much we prepare for ourselves, and no matter how expensive things we prepare for ourselves, it will never satisfy us. Thank you for allowing us to hold a worship service today on the occasion of Christmas, where we remember and celebrate the Lord who came to this earth as the bread of life. Please help us live by always remembering that the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals, is Jesus who came as the bread of life that will satisfy us forever. May we all make the Lord, who is the bread of life, our purpose, walk with the Lord, and come before our Lord each day, so that we will not hunger or thirst. Also, we were dead because of our faults and sins, and no one could save us. But because the Lord, who is our eternal 911 emergency service, reached out to us, we were able to live and be under the protection of the Lord. We pray that our lives and faith, with the help and guidance of the Lord, may become a channel for the Lord to let His love and life flow into the world. So may our lives in the Lord become a Christmas of hope that brightens and cleanses this world every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.